Centre's oral history archive comprises some 300 recordings made by a dozen or so interviewers, generating 500 hours of listening with 10,000 pages of transcript. This audio snapshot has been compiled as a taster of just one of the very many subjects in the archive. The handful of sound bites here, chosen from nearly 100 indexed references to the subject of language, gives us a glimpse of something that's been a problem in South Asia ever since the very early days of the British East India Company. Leslie Newbegin, Bishop of Madras from 1965 to 74, sets the scene.
Then the question was, shall we do what the Mughals did, namely to encourage Sanskrit, Arabic, Persian learning, or shall we do it in English? And both sides were agreed that what they wanted to accomplish was the rejuvenation of the vernaculars of Hindi, Bengali, Marathi, Gujarati, Tamil, Telugu, Malayalam, and so forth. But the question was, how is this best done? Is it best done through the ancient languages, or is it best done through English? And this terrific battle was fought, which was finally ended by Macaulay's Minute of 1834, which decided that English was to be the medium of instruction.
100 years later, there was still a problem. K.S. Dougal, broadcaster with All India Radio.
After partition, in the Punjab, the Hindus and Sikhs started quarreling about the language. Hindus said their language was Hindi, and the Sikhs said their language is Punjabi. But both of them fought out their case in Urdu newspapers.
Mary Thatcher, the centre's first archivist and the driving force behind this oral collection, long before it became fashionable, is with Mrs. Beecher, wife of the civil engineer on the Barzee Light Railway in the 1920s, 30s and 40s.
What about the language? Did you learn that?
I learned a thing called Mem Sahib Urdu, which I still speak in my dreams. But I did try to learn Marathi, which is rather like Hindustani.
Mr. Alderson Smith, Ceylon.
And then I went out in 1921 to learn about running a tea estate. You've got to learn the language, of course, too.
Yes. What was the language in your area?
Tamil.
Mrs. Mullen.
Well, I went out that same because I had married a member of the Indian Civil Service. And that was in 1924. And the first thing I had to realize was that I would get nowhere until I was able to speak the language, which amounted to kitchen Hindustani, mind you, nothing very highbrow. And I had a splendid old cook called Rahim Books, who knew a lot more English than he would own to, and he used to write the menus for me in English. We understood each other, and he was very helpful, but never would he address me in English. It was considered disrespectful.
Mrs. Lacey of the Bihar and Orissa National Congress of Women.
Did you yourself speak Gujarati?
No, I spoke Hindi.
Yes.
And that is a criticism I have to make of my own fellow countrymen in India, that they did not bother, the vast majority of them, did not bother to learn the language, and that so their communication with Purdah women, for instance, was practically nil.
Mrs. LeBrock, ICS again.
And, my mother supplied me with a munshi, and I had to learn Hindi and even some of the script. But I think we who were married to the services, because we're all three service wives, you see, we did learn language.
Carol Pickering, with Dr. Ruth Hardy and another aspect of the problem.
How much training did you have for the mission field that you were going to? Language and health and so on.
I was taught absolutely nothing at all. But I did learn Bengali at the London School of Oriental Studies. But when I got out to India and thrown straight into a hospital situation, having to have an interpreter all the time.
And that was because Hindi was the main language of Hazaribagh, where she'd been sent to work by the Church of India. Father Sobol, who did speak Hindi, gives his solution to the same problem.
And then, Father, after your hospital,
Yes, after that I was very weak indeed, having been to two hospitals, one after the other. I was sent up to Darjeeling to recuperate because the weather was good, it's up in the mountains.
And you had the dilemma then about preaching to them?
About preaching to them, yes.
Yeah.
And I said I must make it Nepali and not Hindi. So I spent 3 days in the week composing a little sermon in English. And I took it to the parish priest in town, who was a Nepali. And he translated it into Nepali. And then I'd come back, and the other 3 days, I'd learn it by heart. On Sunday, I'd deliver it in the church.
Some people revel in the languages. Professor De Caro is with F.M. Innes of the ICS in the Jhelum district of Punjab province.
You must have picked up the local language then, quite early.
Well, early when I went out there, I felt very strongly that it, when I read it, I think after 2 years I'd passed the first class interpretership in Urdu, and then I went on to take a first class interpretership in Punjabi. And I suddenly became fluent in Urdu. One did so much one to work in the language, it was no problem. In fact, after my retirement, I used to broadcast from the BBC, really? In Urdu, in their Eastern programme.
Similarly, Major Rawding, who served much of his British Army career with the Gurkhas and naturally concentrated on the languages of Nepal. Amongst his other contributions, he recorded a language lesson from English via Nepali into Tamang, a Tibeto-Burman language. Here he shows off a Himalayan dialect with Saba Ratna, a Newari watchmaker.
Aile hajur, tapaile bhanu bhayeko cha ki tapaiko bachmanko belama ijazat bina school ma parnu sakena. Tyo kahile thiyo, kasari thiyo yo, kina bhayo?
Chandra Shamsherko palama tyas bela hukumko shasan thiyo, tyasaile chahi ni मान्छेहरु चाहिँ नि त्यहाँ पढ्न हुन सक्दिन आफै आफै मात्र पढ्न पर्न सक्छ
अनि स्कुल त्यतिखेर धेरै थिएन
एकै मात्र छ
एक मात्रै थियो
In light of Ain, John Masters, author of titles such as Bawani Junction, To the Coral Strand, Night Runners of Bengal, Coromandel, and many more, lets his hair down with an all too brief excursion into a Gurkha folk song.
Hey, jump, jump, parali, yahe, magazali, samahazudeeradun. When you see mascara eyes winking at you, you know you're near Dehradun.
And finally, two more brave efforts. Frances Hunter, after recording her mother and herself rereading Letters Home from Dehradun, Nainital and Jhansi in the 1920s and 30s, recalls learning Hindustani.
With a little item taught me by my ayah. Humpty Dumpty Dee were perbito. Humpty Dumpty Dee were segera. Sabrajaka Admi, Sabranika Gora. Humpty Dumpty Kabine Jora.
And a very young Marathi child practices her English.
Come first. There's never any trouble if you smile. There's never any trouble if you smile. And if there's any trouble, it will vanish like a bubble if you only take the trouble just to smile.
Prathama Sumara Sri Ganesh Prathama Sumara Sri Ganesh Gauri Suta Priya Mahesh Gauri Suta Priya Mahesh